afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and we're on with A Progressive Life, and I think we have Dr. Feynman. Are you on air with me?
I certainly am.
Right. Here we go. We're starting anew. And I assume that you saw the different things that I put on my little ad from yesterday.
Yes, I did. I always look at it.
But
yeah.
So many things have happened this week. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of it's quite crazy, as usual.
It
know?
Is. But yeah. This week seemed to be even more crazy than before. Well, let me go a little bit over what I had on there. What do you think of this recount? I think it's in Arizona, right?
Arizona. The Republican Party leadership in Arizona is mental. They really have problems. It's absolutely ridiculous. And even if they were correct, and indeed Trump was suddenly to win Arizona, and it wouldn't happen, but if it did, he still wouldn't be president, because that's not enough electoral votes to get him the victory. And yet Trump himself made a statement praising them for doing it, like he thinks it's going to be a big surprise. What, are we going to suddenly learn that tonight Donald Trump's going to appear in the House chamber instead of Joe Biden? It's totally insane.
Well, hasn't he kind of hinted that he thought Michigan ought to do the same thing?
Michigan would not be enough.
No,
it's just ridiculous, you know. And the thing that bothers me is that we have people who I thought were intelligent, you know, that really showed they're really dumb and manipulative and you know, easily manipulated. And it really gets to me how people can claim that, you know. Especially after the 2016 election, when he, quote, won, when we all know he really didn't win, and he had lost by 2.85 million votes. Now with 7 million votes behind, people are trying to claim he was the winner.
Well, now, what can they do legally? I mean, do they have a situation where they could actually claim that if they...
Well, in theory, in Arizona, they could, but it wouldn't happen because it's been gone over three or four times before this. But even if they did, it would just change the electoral vote, but it would not give him the win. It would not give Trump the win.
Well, since we're talking about the electoral vote, the second thing on my list of things to talk about is the census, and we're losing some votes there.
Yes, Ohio is losing, New York is losing, Michigan, Illinois, California for the first time, imagine that, West Virginia, you know, so
it's interesting.
Pennsylvania also, yes.
Most of the states that are losing votes, with the possible exception of West Virginia, are really Republican in the majority. Whereas the states that are gaining votes, like Texas and I think Arizona...
Arizona is not gaining at all. That was a shock.
Oh, okay.
Arizona is not gaining, but Florida, of course, is gaining.
Florida.
But actually, it was thought Texas was going to gain 3 seats. They're only gaining 2. And Florida, they thought, would gain 2 seats, only gaining 1. So it's a surprise. And New York lost a seat only because they were 89 people short. Can you believe that? To keep their, whatever these, you know, the 26th seat. So Minnesota would have lost a seat, but they keep their seat, one of their seats, because New York was 89 people short. Imagine how close the whole population count matters.
And considering that there was so much ballyhooed about how the census should be, they should put on there what their citizenship was, and there were several things that Trump thought that the census should do that fortunately they didn't do, but it may have adjusted. Some of those people just decided, I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to tell them where I'm from. And
well, it is possible that the Hispanic vote, the Hispanic count, I mean, for the census, might have been less because of all the concern by undocumented immigrants.
Yeah. So
therefore, they do not count in Florida, and they do not count in Texas. And that actually hurt them in a way as far as getting another seat. So the Republicans may have done themselves in by this.
Well, and one of the biggest problems with that is, I believe the Constitution bases that you have to have a census every 10 years, and it has to be on people that are living in your country. It has nothing to do with their citizenship.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's always what it's been.
Yeah.
And this is the, by the way, because some people didn't agree to do the census, this is the second slowest growth in a decade after the 1930s. So It means we're going to need more workers as the country is aging, and we're going to need immigrants. That's the irony. This anti-immigrant nativism is ridiculous because immigrants help the country, and we're going to need, you know, more workers and more people to come in because most people don't have children as much as they did. And again, you know, the population is aging, so it's not a good thing. We really do need to have a growth of population, and a lot of it will be immigration.
Well, I wondered if there was a possibility that the census was lower artificially because of COVID. What do you think?
That could have been a factor as well, I suppose. But I think more the fear of those who are undocumented about filling out census forms.
Yeah.
So I understand their fear, but that also leads, even in California, they lost a seat the first time ever. They might have anyway, but I think if everybody had been counted, they might not have lost a seat. So,
yeah.
But I think the Republicans gained in some respects, but they also lost because they probably could have gotten another seat in Florida and Texas. And, of course, both states, particularly Texas, is still in play in the next decade as more and more people are legal citizens and do register to vote. So I think in the long run, the Republican Party loses out, but in the short term, they may gain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm a little concerned about that, because Ohio's one of those states that...
Losing, yes.
Yeah, well, and the government has said that they were going to base the... gerrymandering idea on the census, and so especially since the Republicans control the state of Ohio, it may do nothing for helping the gerrymandered border lines here in Ohio.
No, it means one House member is going to be kicked out, or at least that seat's going to be rearranged. And of course, I know it's not going to happen, but wouldn't it be nice if Jim Jordan was knocked out?
I don't think that'll be the one.
I know. And Tim Ryan's not running, so, you know, in theory, whatever they would do, he's running for the Senate, and I hope he wins. I think he's the best candidate the Democrats have. And the Republican candidates are pretty horrible, including Josh Mandel. Oh, my God. So I'm hoping Tim Ryan can be the new Senate. He's a moderate, which is good. He's not too far to the left. But he came across, I think, fairly well in the presidential, sweepstakes, even though he didn't get the nomination. He got noticed, and I think he's the best person the Democrats have right now in Ohio for the Senate.
Tim came and spoke to our Democratic club a couple of times, and I got to tell you, I was not terribly impressed. But the reason why I wasn't impressed is because he's probably the type of guy that we need in Ohio. He's not a...
not too liberal.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, he's not a crazy liberal, right. He is he's liberal, but he's not... a fire breather,
He's not as liberal as Sherrod Brown, but somehow Sherrod Brown wins. That's what amazes me.
I'll tell you why Sherrod Brown wins is he's a dedicated labor supporter, and up in that area where he lives, we still have a lot of labor and a lot of unions in that area. Not that he only gets voted on in that area, but
yeah.
That area is very strong for labor, and I'm sure that he gets a huge turnout there. We still have a lot of labor here in the state of Ohio.
Well, then that should help Ryan, then. Ryan's always been good on the labor issue as well.
Yes, he's very good on it as well, and I think if we had him and Sherrod Brown, it would be very good for not only the Democratic Party, but for our labor movement here.
Yes, well, it's going to be a tough election because, again, midterm elections, the party in the White House generally loses seats. The only time that did not happen was 1934, which is a long time ago. Also, 2002, because of 9/11, I think the Republicans actually gained a couple of seats in both houses.
Yeah.
So I think, but that was unusual. But other than that, it doesn't happen. So, I mean, right now, the Senate is evenly split. That's not a good sign for the future. But two-thirds of the seats coming up are Republican seats.
Right.
And a number of them are retiring, and the people who might replace the ones that are retiring seem more extreme right-wing. So
right.
Maybe the Democrats can win more seats. And the House is only a small number of seats. In theory, they would lose a few seats, and then they could lose control to Kevin McCarthy, God forbid. He's such a horror. But I still think there's a good chance that the Democrats might, if they can hold up on the popularity of Joe Biden, that they can hold on and actually gain seats in both houses. But we'll have to see. It'll be an interesting year and a half to then.
I'm going to give a prediction, and my prediction back in 2018 was our top of the Democratic ticket was going to be Kamala and Joe, and it was. So I've got a pretty good track record so far. My prediction is that this will change that pattern of losing seats.
Yeah,
I believe, and I'll tell you why I believe it'll change. I believe that there are enough anti-Trump Republicans in the state of Ohio that we won't lose. Well, anti-Trump Republicans throughout the nation, that we won't lose positions. I think we're going to gain them.
Well, I hope so. You know, guys, with this Senate, two-thirds of the seats being Republican, you have to assume that you would gain at least two, three, or four seats.
You'd think so, yeah.
What they need is to keep the 50 they have and gain a few. And the House is more difficult, but I do think that, you know, the fact is Colorado gained a seat, and that's likely to be Democratic. Oregon gained a seat, and so an electoral vote and a seat in the House, so that should help. North Carolina is in play, and they've also gained a seat. So I do think, you know, hopefully there will be a bigger margin, but it's a lot depends on how things look in September of next year.
Because
people forget last year. You know, right now he's riding high, Joe Biden, and the polls are good, but in a year, it depends on how things look. If it continues like it is, where the stock market's up, and where employment is up, and where his programs and ideas do well and are well-liked, even if not by Republican members of Congress, but by many Republicans as well as independents and Democrats, then the Democrats will do well. But again, a year from now, anything could happen. We could also be government in a war. You never know. There's so many factors you can't plan.
Well, I noticed that for the first time in the history of the 100 days post-election 100 days, for the first time in history, the president created 1 million jobs in the first 100 days. Now, that sounds wonderful, but when you stop and think of how many jobs have been lost because of COVID, that's, you know, that adjusts that a little bit, I think.
Well, yes, but that's just the first 100 days, but I think, you know, I've read somewhere they said this could be the best year on the economy since 1984, they're claiming, which really helped Reagan when he was running for re-election against Walter Mondale, who, of course, passed away in the last week or so.
Yeah.
And was a great man. I really admired Walter Mondale.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's going to be a good economy, but again, you never know what's going to go on internationally. There's so many factors, you know, it's impossible to predict the future. But I think right now things look good, but the question is, can they keep it up? That's the thing. Can the Democrats keep it up? And when you have people like on Fox News, like Tucker Carlson, I can't believe that helps the Republican Party. You know, he's really off the wall. He's dangerous, Tucker Carlson, and he's really, you know, he says the wackiest things, and he promotes hate and division. And I would think that would work against the Republican Party, but I don't know. There's a lot of people that like listening to that stuff.
Well, okay, you're switching me off of my list. But
no, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I put this in my phone. Tucker said people should call Children's Services to see if the parenting, if a parent is requiring a child to wear a mask, if that isn't child abuse. Now, how in the world can you say something like that?
Because he can get away with it on Fox News.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's ridiculous. And the people that still insist that they're not going to get vaccinations, they're harming the whole country, not just themselves, and not willing to wear masks in the proper circumstances. I don't know. What do you do with people like that?
Well, I guess you just you let them die off.
I wasn't going to say that, but honestly, when these people think religion is more important, they got to go to church or synagogue no matter what, and be in a large crowd, you know, and don't have masks and hug each other, I think they're committing suicide. And I think religion is not more important than your life. and you can be religious in the way you treat people without having to show up in church or synagogue.
Let me tell you what my father said one time. I was probably 12 years old. I had a pin that I wore to church because I had never missed a day of church. And for like 10 years, and it had these little bars that kept adding. Well, I got sick, and I couldn't go to church.
My God, what a sinner.
Yeah. Well, and Dad came into my room, and I said, Dad, I've got to go to church. I won't keep that up. And he said, church is not a building. Church is in your heart.
And that's exactly. Imagine he and consider what he did for a living. That's amazing.
Oh yeah, he was a minister. So
I know, but to have him say that,
well,
wow.
He knew I wasn't going to give that much in the offering anyway. All right, let's get back to another thing that I had written down. I had put on our little ad for our show. The $80 billion that's been suggested the IRS should get.
So they can go after wealthy people and make sure
yes.
they pay in corporations,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes. It's kind of what's the word I'm looking for? It's exactly that. It's so that the IRS has enough money to go after these rich people that aren't paying their fair share. Do you think that's going to get passed? Do you think it's going to get through?
Well, it's a problem because of the Republicans. They might have to do use the method to do it by 5150. You know, I hope not. But
well, it is a budget thing, so they can use that if that's what they want to.
They can. So it's going to be divisive because the Republican Party is going to continue to represent the wealthy and yet claim they represent the average Joe.
Right.
And they really don't, but it's just a lot of them get manipulated because it's an issue of race for a lot of these white working class people, and they just think anything happens to, you know, that might benefit people of color is something that threatens them. So that's how they have that appeal, the racist appeal. I'm sorry, this is not the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln or even Theodore Roosevelt or Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah, and not even Eisenhower, yeah.
It's a very different, as I said in one article I wrote, I said, this is more like the Democratic Party of 1861, the secessionist party,
yeah.
When you consider 147, 149 members of the House and Senate, mostly House, of course, but I think it was 8 senators went ahead and refused to accept the electoral votes, and even after the insurrection, they were still voting to try to change the electoral votes of certain states. So, I mean, they are secessionists, they are treasonists, they are seditionists.
Well, now, why don't you mention the name of that blog? I read it this week. You sent it to me, and I read it. Why don't you mention that again so people can follow?
ProgressiveProfessor.com, yes.
Okay.
ProgressiveProfessor.com. I sent a certain number of articles to you, yes.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
I
get more from you than anybody.
I did, yes. Yeah, including one on Josh Hawley of Missouri.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He's the only member of the Senate to have voted against the anti-Asian, legislation,
right.
Because Asian Americans have been suffering so much.
Yeah.
And yet, the fact is that he's unwilling to indeed support an anti-Asian civil rights bill. And yet, Ted Cruz went along with it. He's no great guy. Tom Cotton went along with it, as I said.
That's a shock.
Not Josh Hawley. What is wrong with this senator, you know?
I don't know. Someday we're going to be able to look back and we're going to say, what happened to the Republican Party? They used to be such a thoughtful organization, but they aren't.
Particularly, that if Josh Hawley could do something that even Ted Cruz didn't do.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
That's unbelievable. Rand Paul even voted for it, for the anti-Asian discrimination bill. It just drove me crazy. And he's the second youngest senator. John Ossoff, the new one from Georgia, is younger by quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's like 41 years old, and he had the person who sponsored him to run for the Senate, a former senator, he totally repudiated, Hawley, because he can't believe what's happened to the man.
Yeah.
Just beyond belief. As I pointed out, Missouri's had a number of distinguished senators, including Thomas Hart Benton in the 19th century, Carl Schurz, who I wrote about for my master's thesis, Harry Truman, of course, Stuart Symington, Thomas Eagleton, John Danforth, who was his sponsor, and now has repudiated him totally, Claire McCaskill. But this man, it's just amazing. I hope he can somehow be defeated in 2024. He wants to run for president, but I don't think he'll have any chance to be the nominee.
Well, certainly
but then
not.
He'll be trying to keep his seat. I hope he can be defeated. But Missouri is a difficult state to figure out. You know, it's becoming more right-wing, it seems. So I don't know.
Well,
don't know
they did have Claire McCaskill as their senator for a while.
But two terms, I think she was good. Yeah. She wasn't too liberal. She was a moderate.
Yeah.
Got defeated by him, yeah.
She's become more left-wing since she got defeated, though.
Well, in the sense that now she's a commentator on MSNBC, and honestly, I say, really, Claire? She does sound more liberal than the way she voted.
Yes, she does.
When you're in the position, you have to consider your constituency. Yeah. But she still was certainly in the center, you know. So, but it's shocking that this guy is there. He's a disgrace, you know.
Well, now, I'm going to mention something that I think is just beyond belief, that the New York Post article about Vice President Harris's book that was given away at the border, they finally admitted that they just flat-out lied on it.
Well, the New York Post is a disgrace. It used to be a liberal-oriented paper in the 60s.
Was it liberal at one time? I didn't know that.
Yes, it was actually very liberal back then. Yeah, but then it was sold to the Fox people. You know, so
I just got a.
Rupert Murdoch owns it. So yeah. Anything he touches is a disgrace.
Well, it comes down to the fact that they've actually admitted that they just flat out lied. There was no truth at all that Kamala's book was given away at the border. What it came down to is that one of her books happened to be donated for people to, they were selling books to raise some funds for these kids. And it just happened to be one of the books that was in a pile of books. And so,
there's also this bull about that Joe Biden is trying to prevent us from having hamburgers on the 4th of July.
Oh,
you heard about that too, right?
Oh, my goodness. How can people believe this crap?
Well, not everybody will, but some people will because they're dumb enough or sick enough to believe it.
I think that they have just rationalized so much in their brains that they've stopped believing in reality. I don't know.
Yeah.
That business about, what was it? You can only have a quarter of a pound of beef a month or something like that.
Yes.
And then Trump's son came out and said, I ate a quarter pound of beef yesterday. Well, probably not true, but not a quarter of a pound.
He's four pounds. He's very definitely got issues, you know, Donald Jr.,
Okay, here's another thing that popped up that made me think about you and asking you about it. There's an announcement, you know, President Biden's going to have a non-State of the Union address.
I don't know why they don't call it the first year of the State of the Union, but they don't.
It has to be
after a year. So it's a State of the Union, but it's not called that, yes.
No, it's not called that. But anyway, at that, he's apparently going to announce his American Families Plan.
Yes.
What do you know about the American Families Plan? I didn't get to listen to it long enough to know much
about it. Well, I think it has to do with providing a free community, public of course, free community college and free pre-kindergarten.
Okay.
Free meaning it's tax support, of course, when I say free.
Right.
And also improving the health care of children and giving some kind of, I don't know the exact amount, but giving some kind of support for health care for kids. And I know there are many people who say, no, we should not do that, you know, and I say, yes, we should, you know, and I see no problem with that. And I think infrastructure is not just roads and highways and bridges. It's more than that, including broadband and things like that. But a lot of Republicans don't want to spend money on those kind of things, like leave people, you know, without broadband, leave people behind the eight ball, as they say. I don't understand the mentality of people, but they're just selfish and self-centered.
Well, I was listening to some of the talking heads, and they were saying that before Eisenhower, roads were not considered infrastructure. You know, the interstate roads.
He's the one that really promoted the interstate highway system. This started with his time, still going on. And, of course, Lincoln promoted the Transcontinental Railroad.
Right.
Most Republicans, as far as, you know, their background, although, like, I must point out, Lincoln did not start off as a Republican. He was a Whig, W-H-I-G. The Republican Party didn't exist. And then Eisenhower was so, like, nonpartisan, not really a political person. And Truman suggested he run for president as a Democrat in 1948, and he said no.
Yeah.
And in 52, he runs as a Republican, but he's not really, you know, a partisan Republican, but he runs as a Republican and works very well with the Democratic leadership 6 of the 8 years he's in office, Rayburn and LBJ. And they get along much better than that happens with a Democratic president with a Republican leadership of Congress. Generally, that usually works best when you have, you know, if you have a Republican president and a Democratic Congress, they actually get things done.
Do you see any cracks in the wall of ignorance on the Republican Party right now?
Well, Liz Cheney is a hero, and I'm not fan of Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter. But, I mean, she's definitely saying she would never vote or support Trump in 2024, and she's challenging Kevin McCarthy on his leadership or lack of leadership of the House minority. And the thought that this man, Kevin McCarthy, could be Speaker if the Republicans win the House, it's a horrible thought.
Some of
thought.
The ignorant things that he has said.
He's impossible. But he lies.
Yeah.
Well, he lies. He condemned what happened on January 6th on that day and the next day, and now he went to see Trump, and now he's totally different. In fact, he's a Pinocchio. His nose is getting longer every day.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of this is going to the things that I think President Biden's going to talk about tonight are things that are going to have to be financed by the government, but in fact, his suggestion is that we raise the tax rate for the ultra rich, the top 0.3%, people making over $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard earlier that people making over $400,000 a year. That neither one of those is going to get anywhere close to you and me put together. But won't that be awfully difficult to get passed?
It shouldn't be, but it will be an issue of... If there'll be any Republicans that join in, and whether all Democrats will be united. It's a very tight-knit Congress, almost even.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. But honestly, even when these people get taxed, they make up in interest what they lose within the next year.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous. So what is the problem? I don't get it. It's not like they're going to really be impoverished.
No. If you're making, I think I heard that Bezos was making $130 billion a year, something like that. He's a, what did they call him? A centribillionaire.
Yeah, well, he's also a robber baron, like the 19th century. He's greedy. He fights his own workers on having a labor union and gets them to vote it down in Alabama. I can't get over that.
Well, Musk are having a little fight going on right now. I guess who's the richest, but who's the crudest? I don't know.
Well, Musk is really a mental case. There's something wrong with these people. But also Zuckerberg is a disgrace as well, I think, Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, I think they get to the point where they start believing all the people around them that tell them how wonderful they are.
Yeah.
As opposed to believing what's right and what's wrong. And I listened to a TED Talk about why people get to the point where they start believing all this crap that the sycophants around them are telling them. Basically, the TED Talk was saying you would get that way, too, if you had every minute of every day, the person that comes up and talks to you tells you how wonderful you are, and you're absolutely right on everything you do. You start to believe that.
That's funny. I can't be sure because I'm not in that situation. But I don't think I would think I'd be suspicious to say, why are they saying this? I don't think I'd ever have that big an ego to think that everything everybody says that's all sycophantic, that they really mean it. So I don't know.
You're in a position now like I was in before. I had lots of students that would work in my office, and you have a lot of students that are your students, and,
yes.
And those people would come in, and they wanted to get in on the good side of me. I could tell that that's what they were trying to
do. Well, I think I would also, I would say thank you, but I wouldn't let it go to my head is what I'm saying. That's not my personality to have power or all kinds of praise go to my head. That's just not me. I don't think it would change if I became a billionaire. I can't be sure, of course, but I don't think it would change me.
I hate to
admit
this.
I have basic values, you know.
I hate to admit this, but it did kind of go to my head. I really did think I was... all that and a piece of cheese, you know.
So when did you realize you weren't?
Well, I also had some students that would say, sit down, Mr. Coble, you're full of crap. And that kept me...
and they said it's a joke.
Yeah, well, no, one of them I can still remember, and I've mentioned him on the air before. It wasn't a joke. He thought I was full of crap.
Really?
And
he told me.
Oh, yeah. And he would tell me that more than once. He was the one I argued about whether if you're running for office, are you running support your clientele, or are you running to support your own thoughts, your own beliefs? And we never did get an answer to that. Neither one of us. He was pretty certain that you were running to support what the people that voted for you had said. And I was kind of against that just because he was for it. I mean, you can't tell me what to do. I'm older than you.
But I think if I was to run for office, and I wish I had done it, that I would have promoted my views, and I would have not backed away from the views and probably had one term.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of why I ran for office.
You don't have any ideals or principles. Why are you running? Just to make yourself be noticed?
Yeah, and there are people like that. I would say Matt Gaetz is one of those.
Oh, my God. Well, he's got problems.
Well, he must.
He definitely sure has some. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Madison Cawthorn, you know. Oh, my God, what
monster. You're naming all my favorites.
Yes. Madison Cawthorn is the youngest member of Congress in many decades, and he's a moron. Maybe 26 now, but he was 25, and he's lied about a lot of things we've discovered, and it's just amazing how they get away with these things.
I don't understand why the American public isn't smarter than they are. Why are we...
Because they listen too much to social media.
Yeah, I guess so.
I notice it, but I don't let it impact me. You know, it doesn't make me have a different view. But I think, of course, I've had people say to me, you watch too much CNN and MSNBC. To me, they are not the same as Fox News Channel and OANN and Newsmax. To me, there's a big difference.
Yes, and I listen to all of those. I can't listen to ONN and I can't listen to Fox News for longer than about 15 minutes. But I do listen so that I can say to myself, I know where they're coming from. I may not agree, but I know where they're coming from.
Yes, but certainly the best time to do that is middle of the day. Fox News is more basic. And
it's more news, yes.
The news, but nighttime, oh my God.
Oh no, I never listen at night. But then,
of course, people say to me, you actually listen to Lawrence O'Donnell? Yes, I really admire Lawrence O'Donnell.
Yeah, I listen to him only because I've listened to Rachel right before.
Yes, and Rachel, I think, is great.
Yeah, but you know, there are a lot of people that will say, hey, you're just a left-wing nut job, just like you're blaming people being right-wing nut jobs if you listen to Rachel and you listen to Lawrence. But Lawrence has been there. He was a politician. Rachel is just very brilliant.
Yes, she is. And Chris Hayes before her is also good. Chris Hayes at 8 o'clock.
You know? I don't listen to him because that's just too much in a row.
But he's actually got a good show, and he's a very charming young man.
And I have listened to him and like him, but I don't listen. I do listen in the morning to CNN more because I just can't listen to...
Morning
Joe, because he goes on and on and on. When he's not on, I listen to Morning Joe, because I like Willie, and I like his wife, Mika, and I like to listen to those.
Yeah.
But it's just too opinionated for me. That's why I listen to CNN more. Because
yeah. Well, the evening show is also opinion, though, but yes. It's just different somehow.
Yeah, well, there is no doubt in my mind where Rachel stands, or Lawrence, for that matter. Matter of fact, I'd say Lawrence even is stronger left-winging than Rachel.
Yeah, well, he worked on Capitol Hill.
Yes, he did.
Even he knows it, you know.
Yeah, for what was his... senator's name
back in the 80s for Moynihan.
And he talks about him a lot and obviously has great respect for him, so
but he was no great liberal either. He was sort of like a moderate centrist.
And back in our day, back in the 70s 80s, there were a lot of centrists on both sides of the ticket.
Yes, we had people in the Republican Party that I greatly admired.
Yes,
in the Senate and even in the House. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Okay, I think I've run out of all the different things I was going to talk about, but I just got a breaking news that federal agents executed a search warrant on Rudy Giuliani's apartment. Boy, there's...
Really?
Just now. So there's got to be some stuff that they're going to find in there.
Yeah, I wonder, though, did they go and shoot their way in as they did with Breonna Taylor, who they killed in Louisville, Kentucky?
No.
I'm sure not, right?
I'm sure not, too.
And just like what's going on with these, after the Chauvin verdict last week, all of a sudden six black men were killed in 24 hours around the country, and there's these two cases about Brown, both people named Brown, the last name, and one shot in the back of the head. Crazy what's going on. And they're learning a case in San Diego 18 months ago. Now they realize the person died after 5 minutes because someone sat on his neck. So it's not just Chauvin. It's like
crazy.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
I've never hearing so many cases.
Now, I also noticed on this, just below this thing where it's talking about Giuliani's, the warrant on Giuliani, warranty. Yeah, his warranty's broken. But right below it says, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, a former GOP Republican slams Carlson's comments. If the Republicans are starting to say that Carlson... Tucker is
Tucker
dumb.
Carlson, yeah.
Yeah, if they're starting to say he's done dumb, then he's probably done eventually.
Well, he has lost a lot of commercials, a lot of ads, but they still keep him on because apparently the true believers watch him. You know.
Yeah, I just noticed also that American Families plan that we were talking about, that's going to be $1.8 trillion dollars.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying this.
It'll be condemned immediately by everybody on the right, and Laura Ingraham also is another monster
on Fox News.
Oh, she's horrible. And she has a record of going back to being a real bigot, and so was Tucker Carlson in college. He was the head of an organization called the Dan White Society, the person who killed Harvey Milk in California, in San Francisco.
He was a member of that group?
After the fact, like 10 years later, in the college, he was in a damn white club. And it just shows, this is 30 years ago, what kind of a monster he was, even when he was in college, Tucker Carlson. Now, just unbelievable. You know, I don't know how these people can even show their face to anybody.
I don't believe you or I would change our opinion based on this. But in 2045, we are going to be the minority.
That's right. About 24 years, whites will be still like 48-49%, but we will not be the majority, and that's what's causing all this trouble, because some people fear the thought that we're going to be a multi-diverse society, but we already anyway. We're still a majority, but it's declining it's going to continue to decline. So my answer is, we are the world. That famous song from years ago. What's the big problem? I don't see an issue.
Well, one of my favorite quotes that I've heard not too long ago was, we're all of one race. It's called the human race.
Yes, and if you look up ancestry.com, you discover, and you look into your background, we all are diverse.
Yes.
People think they're totally white European. Most cases are not. And they'd be shocked to discover they have some Asian or African or Latin American blood in them. Oh, my God. And even some Klan people, you know. So it's so ridiculous the way people focus on that kind of an issue.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's what kind of a character you have, what kind of a person you are. Are you decent? Are you kind? Which, by the way, is Joe Biden. And I'm thrilled about his speech tonight. And I know there are people going to say, oh, he can't talk well and he's falling apart. He's not falling apart. He's been doing brilliantly.
I mean,
all these people think he's mentally, he's demented. It's not true.
Well, maybe you can tell us what's going on with Giuliani.
He is demented. I think he's really off the wall. You know, I think he has become the mayor of New York and had a good reputation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a terrible fall from grace from 2001 to now. I'm surprised that more people haven't gotten angry at him because he did have that black running down the side of his face. Maybe.
Yes. Now his son is trying to run for governor against Cuomo or whoever the Democrats nominate. Yeah. His son worked in the Trump White House, but he's never been elected, and he's going by his name, Andrew Giuliani. What makes him qualified? But then who says you have to be qualified? Any moron can run, and you get people to elect people like that.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing how little we pay attention to qualifications of some of these people.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, I see, though.
Yeah, we're down to a minute and a half, so
yes.
What anything you need to get off your chest before we get out of here?
Well, I think I've done it on the blog. I think just a little more attention to the fact that the popularity polls show Joe Biden is liked by the American people, way above whatever Trump was, and I think that's something to recall and to realize. And also, Earth Day was this week.
Yes.
This past week, and Richard Nixon was the first president to sign the executive order setting up Earth Day, and I don't think people realize he died on Earth Day in 1994.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'll be darned.
So I tell my students he helped to create Earth Day, and he returned to the Earth on Earth Day, and they laugh.
Wow. Okay. Hey, we're down to under a minute, but I just got another thing that the judge in North Carolina denied the allowing people to see the cams, of that murder. Well,
cover up.
We'll talk about that next week. So,
oh, my God. That's going to be a big controversy. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you have a good week. I hope I didn't just ruin it for you.
It's disturbing because it's going to have to be pursued further because that's ridiculous,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Have a good week.
You too, Dr. Feynman. Thanks for coming on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Feynman on A Progressive Life. And we appreciate him coming on, and we appreciate you listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Born to Broadcast, a tribute to the late, great Charlie Evers. This is Adam Lepp. One of Charlie's most interesting celebrity guests was Lulu Roman from Hee Haw, a favorite show of mine growing up.
My guest, of course, is Lulu and her companion, and we'll be talking with you here. First of all, let me get my microphones in order here. Lulu, what your full name?
is Bertha Louise Roman.
Oh, Bertha. Okay.
Well, hello, and welcome to A Voice of a People here on WWGH107.1FM Radio. We stream live on the web,
Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on Monday, April the 26th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. A little chilly April morning here. Can you believe this? We are definitely in the midst of spring, but these chilly April mornings keep on backing up on us. And from what I understand, today and tomorrow are supposed to be very nice days. Last week we had the cold snap, which brought us the 3 inches of snow, which I'm going to go with 3 inches of snow, although I really don't know if that is what fell. I don't know how meteorologists measure all this stuff, because to be honest with you, I know that in the yard, there maybe was 3 inches, although I really don't know, because I could still see grass poking up through the snow, and I don't think the grass was 3 inches high. But on that note, on the back patio table where I normally measure the snow, it did look like there was probably 3 inches. Now on the roads, and I live on a side street that is not the first to be plowed, there was no snow on the ground. So I don't know if the concrete was just too warm to have any snow on the ground at all, or if cars were driving, or if it melted before morning. I'm not really sure what happened, but it was a week ago? Was it a week ago tonight that all happened? I think it might have been a week ago tonight or a week ago tomorrow night. But in any event, I don't see any snow in the forecast this week, although chilly. Chilly here in the morning, although the temperatures will get warmer throughout the day. And that is the month of April. You know, the weather's a very interesting thing to talk about. People love to talk about the weather. If you're in a restaurant with people, if you're in a doctor's office with people, if you're anywhere, one of the common things to talk about or say is, how's the weather? What do you think of the weather? So on and so forth. And the phone is already ringing, so let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Gay.
The railing on my deck is a good place to measure snow, and that's usually where I measure it. I've done that over the years. And I had 5 inches on the railing of my deck.
5 inches?
Yeah, and that's pretty accurate, because it's not disturbed there when it falls, and it just kind of builds up and gives me a pretty good idea for it. So, yeah, I had 5 inches measured there.
Well, see, that's what I usually look at the patio table, because, you know, that's not disturbed.
Right.
And I can usually see, and there was quite an accumulation there. Now, I'm going to say probably about 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting to me was, and, you know, I go out fairly early in the morning, I could still see the grass, and there was nothing on any road between where I live and over here on Prospect Street. So I don't know if it was just too warm.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of